You have your Bible tonight, turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse 16 of Colossians chapter number 1. The Bible says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him." Now watch this. "And for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." I want to preach tonight for a little bit, if God will be my help. We look at different things, and we look at all the things that's happening around the world, happening in our lives, in your life, in my life, our family's lives, in community lives, in our nation's life, in the life of the world, and we see things as changing all around us, and it seems like it's just almost impossible to deal with. I mean, it's almost too big for our minds to comprehend. You might say we can't run to and fro, as Daniel said we'd be doing in the last days, and get ahead of this thing. Amen. It's just too big for you and I. Hey, wouldn't you say that? Amen. It kind of gets confusing. It gets some kind of heartbreaking because we just can't figure it out. We'd like to do something. We'd like to make a difference, but we just don't know where to start. But I want to say, on authority of God's Word tonight, praise God, that He knows exactly where we are and knows exactly what we need. The Bible says, "By Him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him." So the Bible tells us, Paul's telling the Colossians here, that everything was created by God and everything was created for God. So I don't know about you tonight, but that leads me to believe that God is in control. Amen. He goes on in verse 17. He said, "And He is before all things." Amen. In other words, before they were, He was. Amen. Think about that tonight, how big God is. Before anything was, He was. Amen. Praise the Lord. Watch that. That's a great big God. That means God is first in everything. He'll never be second. He'll never take second. Praise God. He said, "By Him all things consist." In other words, that means to literally be held together. So God is holding everything together. So when it feels like we're being shook up and to the point of being broken up, we got to remember, praise God, that God is in control. We know He is because He said He is. So I want to preach tonight for just a few minutes, Brother Kevin, if God will be my help. On this thought, God is in charge. Amen. God is in charge. Everything that's happening, amen, God is in charge. God is the creator, amen, of this world. He created everything. He spoke it into existence. He said, "Let there be," and there was. Ain't you glad for that tonight, that God did that? I'm glad I didn't create it. You know what man creates? When man tries to create things, they create a mess. That's about all man's able to create is a mess. God is able to create the things that we need. Not only can He create it, but He can sustain it. Now God is the sustainer this year. Hey, people run around all over the country and talking about the global warming and all this stuff and fretting and worrying about that. And I believe we ought to be good stewards of the earth. I think we ought to do what we can, amen. Try not to pollute and trying to take care of what we have for the next generation. I mean, that's only common sense. But I won't say God is in charge of this whole thing. Amen. But we got to realize, amen, we're living in an old sin-cursed world. The world is cursed with sin because of the fall of man, because men sinned from the beginning. Amen. And because of that, we have to deal with that. We have to live with that. We have to just be partakers in that because that's the way it is. Hey, we can't go back and change that. God did through Jesus Christ our Savior, and we put our faith and trust in Him. He makes that difference in us and for us. Amen. But I got to realize that God is in charge. As I was looking about this, I was thinking about this week, and I was going through it just from the from Genesis to Revelation. I was going through the Word of God, and I was just looking at all the instances where God was in charge of everything that was taking place, the things that was happening. Amen. Even from the beginning, and the Bible tells us, as I said a minute ago, about the curse that come upon this world, and we see that in Genesis chapter number 3, when we begin to wonder about the hardships of this world. It started with the fall of man. When our forefathers sinned against God, when we partake of those things that weren't for us to partake of, man began to spiral downward and we ain't ever stopped sin. It says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, "Said unto Adam," he said, "because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field."
In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. From out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Amen. So he said, where did it all begin? Amen. With sin in the garden. It began with sin, and it began with the curse that's upon the earth. Amen. And he said, God, because of that, God says, you know what? You're just going to have to go through some hardships in this world. Who did that? God did that. A lot of times we'll try to pack it off on this and that. We'll try to pack it off on the devil. But God did that. Amen. God says, listen, if you're going to be disobedient to me, I'm going to deal with you in this fashion, in this way. God just in doing that? Amen. Sure he was. Because we were disobedient to God. Amen. Hey, it didn't only go with God, with creation. It began to go on down. You remember Job, that fella? He was the Bible said he was righteous in the eyes of God. He was a just man before God. He loved God with all his heart. He loved God with all his soul. But the Bible said that Job had to endure some things. In Job chapter number 1, the Bible said that Job loved the Lord, and he was a praying. He was a fasting man. He was lifting up the God of glory every day. He was praying for his children. He was lifting them up to God. And God was a blessing Job, and he blessed him in so many ways. Amen. Praise God. But the Bible says in Job chapter 1, verse number 20, the Bible asked a question. He says, hast thou considered my servant Job? Verse 8. There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance has increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and then touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says the next day, you know what happens? All these things begin to happen. That comes upon his family, and he loses his herds, and he loses his daughters, and he loses his sons. Even in all that, Job doesn't curse God. He doesn't complain about it. And Job says in verse 20 and 21, he said, then Job rose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worship. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He said, who took it away? All that Job had, who took it away? You say, well, preacher, the devil took it away. No, God did. Amen. God allowed that to happen. He said, the Bible says, if Job's telling us the truth, he said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Amen. Hey, we won't say, well, the devil took his stuff. No, God did. Amen. Hey, a lot of times that we have stuff in this world, praise God, and God just, God takes it, God gives it, he takes it back, and God gives it, he takes back, because that's who God is. You say, well, preacher, that's just not right. It seems like God's an Indian giver. No, God's a just and a righteous God in all that he does. Amen. Praise God. You say, well, who's he trying to prove something? He's trying to prove something, praise God, to the devil. Amen. He's trying to prove to the devil, praise God, that he was God. Besides him, there was no other. He was able, praise God, to bless because he promised that he would be a blesser. Praise God. God is in charge. What God was showing him here was that God was in charge. God is in charge. No matter what we face, praise God, God is in charge. Amen. Praise the Lord. You remember the story in the book of Mark where they was out in the middle of the ocean. They was sailing out. And the Bible said Jesus was asleep in the hull. And a storm rose up. And in the midst of that storm, the waves was boisterous, and the disciples began to be affrighted, praise God, of what was taking place. In Mark chapter number 4, down about verse 39. Verse 35 says, well, then the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now Jesus said, let's go across. Amen. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ship. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are ye so fearful? How is that you have no faith? So we see this in the midst of a calamity, in the midst of a major storm in the disciples' life, praise God. They called upon the Lord. They woke the Lord Jesus up from his nap. You say, well, preacher, it's kind of contradictory because we always say that he neither slumbers or sleep because the Word does. But Jesus got tired. He was in a physical body like you and I, and he took him a little nap in the back of the ship. Amen. You say, was that a bad thing? No, praise God. If he was tired, he wanted sleep. Praise God, that was all right. Because even in his nap, in his napping, praise God, he still knew what was going on. Amen. Praise God, it didn't take him by surprise. Amen. He rose up. The Bible says he rose up and he says, peace be still. What took place? Immediately there was a calm. There was an immediate effect to praise God of what God was able to do. Why? Because we're in God's hands and because God is in charge. Amen. God is in charge. He's in charge of your life. He's in charge of my life. Praise God. He's in charge of this world and the cosmos in which we live. All things, praise God, are guided by God. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's just the way it is. We are in God's hands tonight. Amen. Praise His name. We have Bible evidence all through the Word of God for this same aspect. We see God a-moving. We see God in charge of the events that take place. In the Old Testament, remember Noah's flood? When the flood came and the rains came down, and the song we sing as little kids, the rain came down and the floods came up. Amen. Praise God. That's what happened in Noah's day. Who caused that? Where did that come from? That come from God. Amen. That came from God. Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. The Bible says this in verse 17. He said, behold, I do bring the flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. Now, who's speaking here? God's speaking. Amen. Who brought the flood? God did. He said, behold, I do bring the floods of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Amen. Praise the Lord. And not only that, he said, I'll bring in two. And he said, I'll bring the fence. I'm going to preserve life, praise, for your sake. But God did that. God brought that flood during Noah's time, praise God, because of sin, because man had waxed worse and worse. The Bible teaches us in chapter 6 that he said it was only evil continually. And God said, I got tired of that mess. He said, I'm just going to take care of it. You know how God decided to take care of that? He said, I'm just going to wash it all away. Amen. You know, in the old times, that's how people used to get rid of their junk. I hate to say it, people used to take it down there and throw it off in the river and let the river take it. Now it just becomes somebody downstream problem. Amen? But God come on. Who did that? Who sent that flood, praise God? Who caused the flood? God did that. Amen? He did that, praise the Lord. Amen? Who sent the plagues on Egypt? God did. Amen. God sent those plagues on Egypt. Praise God. I'm talking about those plagues that could be felt by those Egyptians. In Exodus chapter number 9, the Bible says in verse 22, he said, the Lord said unto Moses, set forth thine hand before heaven, and there shall be a hail in all the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail. Who sent it? The Lord. Amen. The Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. For there was hail and fire mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. So who sent the hail? Who sent the plagues upon Egypt? God did. Amen. Could you imagine that when it began to thunder and it began to hail and fire, as the thunder and the hail began to hit, then the fire began to run along the ground? Who had ever thought that there'd be fire running along the ground when it's hailing and it's thundering? You'd never thought that. Nobody could do that. But God did that. Amen. Why? Because God is in charge. He was in charge of that situation. He was trying to get it Pharaoh's attention. And God has a way of getting attention. Amen. He'll get your attention one way or another. Praise God. Hey, it's a whole lot better, young, than just to give God your undivided attention. Amen. Praise God. So he don't have to do things like that. Praise God. I'm talking about things that could be felt. Amen. Look at Exodus chapter number 10, verse number 20, 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there is, may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Amen? Who did that? God made it. He said, pray God, you can see it. He said, I'm going to make it where they can feel it. God did that. Said Moses, stretched forth his hand before heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. Can you imagine? I mean, it was so dark in Egypt for 3 days. Miles, he couldn't see their hand in front of their face. I mean, a blackness of night like that they had never been before. And they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But now watch this. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Ain't that amazing? Praise God. You say, who done that? God did that. Amen. He separated them out and he caused the darkness, amen, to be upon the land. Praise his holy name. God did those plagues. God allowed them to feel his presence. Amen. You remember the little prophet Elijah? Elijah was up on the mountain, praise God, and the Bible said that Elijah prayed and God sealed off the heavens. It rained not for 3.5 years. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18, we see the story of this as it's taking place. And Elijah prayed and it didn't rain. The Bible says in chapter 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, said Elijah to Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Amen. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that was before Jordan. So we see him as he goes there, amen, he gets in this place in 1 Kings chapter 17, praise God, and the Lord dries up the waters and the rain stops, and for 3.5 years it don't rain a drop, even the dew don't fall on the grass. Amen? Who did that? God did that. Amen? The Bible says in chapter 18, verse 1, said it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came unto Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went and showed himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. So the Bible tells us here that there was a drought, praise God. There was no rain. God sealed up the heavens. He didn't allow it rain. Didn't allow the dew to come up out of the ground. God did that. He shut her off. Amen. You say, well, God, if God could do that, could he do it again? God does that all the time. And then we see places of drought. We see places where there's no water for months and sometimes years at a time. Amen. Because God does that. Because he's God. Amen. He does say, praise God, so that we recognize and realize he's God. You know what? How to make it a whole lot better if we could just praise and worship God all the time. I believe a lot of this stuff we wouldn't have to go through if we would just stay with God. If people would just follow God, if we'd walk with God, if we'd be led of the Lord. But Elijah tells King Ahab, he said, hey, listen, said, you need to get ready. He said, you need to eat and drink, whatever you're going to do, get ready, because said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Kings 18 and 40, he said, Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, and he took them and slew them. And Elijah said in verse 41, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Amen. And then he says to his servant, so Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he set himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and he looked, and he said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. So the servant go up and he'd look and he'd come back. He said, ain't a thing. He said, well, go up again. So he went up again, come back. He said, don't see a thing, boss. He said, well, go up again. So 7 times. The 7th time he goes up there, he said, go up again 7 times. And he said, it came to pass on the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. Amen. So he comes the 3rd time, the 7th time. The servant comes down there and said, well, said, out of the sea there, out of Galilee, said, it looks like there's a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. He said, you go tell that king, quit his eating and drink, get in his chariot and head out of here if he's going to get out of here. He said, because there's a rain coming. Amen. Praise God. Who did that? God did that.
Amen.
And God sent those rains, praise God, torrential rains. Before they got out of there, they was a running in mud. Amen. Because God did that. He sealed up the heavens and He opened the heavens and poured out the rain. Praise God. Amen. Bless His holy name. Praise the Lord. And then what happened? Who did that? God did that. Who sent the earthquake and swallowed up the sons of Korah? When they was rebellious against God and Moses, who opened up the earth, that they swallowed up those sons of those reprobates, those rebellious people over there in the wilderness. God did that. Look at Numbers chapter number 16. Numbers chapter 16, verse 31, the Bible says this. He said, it came to pass as he had made the end of speaking. Now Moses is speaking to the people. Amen. And he's talking about what God has planned for them and how that God had loved them and cared for them. In verse 28 says, Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them among mine. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they visit be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertaineth unto them, and they go down quickly into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation, and all of Israel that were round about them fled at the crying of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Who did that? It was God Almighty. Amen. Praise God. Because of disobedience, He opened up the ground and He just sucked them down into the pit and He closed her up again. It was just like they had never existed. Amen. God did that. How you know? Because God is in charge. You say, preacher, this is all depressing, praise God. No, it ain't. It tells you the magnificent power of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when we're on His side, praise God, He blesses us and He helps us, praise God. He swallowed them up. Amen. And don't forget God's storm. Remember, God sent a great storm on a rebellious old preacher. Amen. Remember old Jonah? Old Jonah was out there and God called him to go to Nineveh and preach the word of God. Amen. Preach to those Ninevites. Old Jonah said, no, I'll not go. So he turned to go in a different direction. He went down there to the seaport and he bought him a ticket onto a vessel and headed just as far and towards Tarshish, just as far and as fast as away from Nineveh he could go. Amen. Thought he could get away from God, but I want to say on the authority of the word of God that God, amen, you cannot run from Him. You can't get away from Him because He is God. Amen. He said, go down there in the Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up the flea, verse 3, unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. That's where we mess up every time we try to flee from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. It's a whole lot better just to run to the Lord, climb up in His lap and just love on Him, let Him love on us. Praise God. So he paid the fare thereof. Amen. Hey, it's a bad thing when somebody pays the price, amen, pays good money to get a whooping. Amen. That'd be like us going down to some old rough joint, going in there and putting money on the table and having somebody say, hey, I got $50, who'll wear me out? That don't make a whole lot of sense, but we do it. Folks do it all the time with God. Amen. He said it from the presence of the Lord, but the Lord sent. Now watch this. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Who sent that storm out in the sea? Who stirred up that ocean? It was the hand of God did that. God was in charge of that. God stirred that up. He was the one that brought fear and terror on these mariners. Praise God. He put the fear of God in them. They were religious men, but they weren't God-fearing men. And they knew that. Jonah was a running from God. They knew why he was on that boat, because he had told them. Amen. He had told them why he was on there. And they were forced to throw him overboard. Amen? The Bible says that, he said, verse 13, he says, nevertheless, the men rode hard. They asked us, what are we going to do with you? In verse 12, he said, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth and see, so shall sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sakes this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Who stirred up that sea? Who called that storm? Caused that storm to come up? I mean, such a tempest that it was near to breaking the ship apart. It was God Almighty did that. Amen. Because of an old rebellious prophet. Amen. Going the wrong direction. God Almighty said, I got to do something to get his attention. I got to make sure that he knows that I am God. Amen. God is in charge. Praise God. But look what it did. Verse number 16 said, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. They said, Lord, I just see them now, can't you? Lord, if you'll help us get out of there. We're going to, you know people like that. You know how we've been. We get caught up between a rock and a hard place. Boy, we'll go to bargaining with God, making all kinds of deals and offering up all kinds of gimmicks. Amen. Lord, if you'll just help us through it. But they got old John up and they throwed him overboard. And when they throwed him overboard, the seas calmed. But notice this. God did that. But the Bible says in verse 17 of Jonah chapter 1, said, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Who did that? God did that. Amen. God makes provision to save his people alive. He said Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days. And 3 nights, praise God. The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow. Now, you think about that. He didn't, I guess God could have done it overnight, but in order to do it by nature, he'd have had to got that fish and trained it up for a pretty good while to get a fish big enough to swallow Jonah. Amen? And he trained it and sent that fish, praise God, to be right there so when they throw Jonah overboard, praise God, I believe they almost snatched him up, Brother Junior, before he hit the water. Like a big old largemouth bass. Amen. Just come up out there and grabbed him, snatched him up. Amen. Who did that? God did that. Amen. Because God is in charge. Amen. Everything that we see happening, God is in charge. No matter good to bad to ugly, God's in charge. And the thing is, because He's our God, because He loves us, and because He sent His Son to be our Savior, praise God, He's promised us that one day when we get through this mess, He'll take us to the other side where there's no mess at all. Amen. A place of shouting and a reverence, praise God, over there. So what does that tell us today? What do we know from what we've read in your hearing? Praise God. That God's in charge. He's in charge of the wind. He's in charge of the rain. He's in charge of the situations. He's in charge of the calamities. Amen. The things that we go through, God knows about it. It's none of it's taken Him by surprise. You say, well, why does... I get the question all the time. Well, preacher, why does God let bad things happen to good people? Bad things happen to everybody. Amen. It just seems like the good people, we notice it more. Because we think, well, they're trying to do good. Why'd that happen to them? But see, God acts a lot of time in judgment in the Old Testament. We see Him doing that. Amen? God's response, it's His response to disobedience. Amen? Sometimes it's God's response to disobedience. It reminds us, praise God, that God is in charge. Nobody can take His authority from Him. Nobody can take His power from Him, praise God. Nobody can do what He can. Amen. Makes a difference. So God is in charge. Now in the New Testament, the Lord reminds us, praise God, that in God's providential care, praise God, that He cares for us. See, that's the difference between the old and the new. We have a Savior in Christ Jesus the Lord who cares for us. A God of compassion, praise God, that's there to make a difference. And the Lord tells us about that. He tells us in Luke chapter number 12. The Lord's just speaking about the leaven of the Pharisees and what they have. But He's talking about you and I, talking about us. In verse 6 of Luke 12, He said, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? and not one of them is forgotten before God. Amen? He said, there are not two sparrows, are they not sold for two farthings? And not one of them. He said, there's not one of them that God forgets about. Two sparrows. Amen. One goes this way, one goes that way, one's bought, took this way, one's bought, took that way. He said, but God knows every one of them. He remembers both those sparrows. But look what he says in verse 7. He said, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Amen. Fear not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. He says, God knows about you and your situation. God knows where you're at. God, He's concerned about the sparrows. Amen. He said, if they're sold for two farthings, if they're sold for sacrifices, He said, God knows about that. He said, He knows about you. He knows about the hairs on your head. He's got them numbered. Amen. Some of us have less than others. But God has them all numbered. He knows, hey, if they're not there, He knows where they went. Amen. But if He's concerned about the sparrows and He's concerned about the hairs and the covering of your head, praise God, how much more is He concerned about you and me? And because God is in charge, praise God, we can put our faith and trust in Him. Because He is a sovereign, a providential God, praise God, who's watching over us and cares for us. Bless His holy name. Amen. Ain't you glad for that? Ain't you glad that somebody cares for you besides just folks in this world? There's a lot of times people can't be there for us. But there's never a time that Jesus can't be there for us. In His providential care, praise God, He's always with us. The psalmist says it best, I guess, in the 135th Psalm, verse 6. He said, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, and He maketh lightnings from the rain. He bringeth the wind out of His treasuries. Amen. Who does that? Who does that? God does that. God, the psalmist says, God is in charge. The psalmist tells us here that God's sovereignty, praise God, is the controlling aspect of everything that we see. Amen, that God is in charge of all the aspects of nature that God is in charge of. Amen, we can see, you see all the things that's happening. I mean, in the last few days, man, there's been tornadoes all over the place, tearing up and ripping up. You say, preacher, why did God allow that? Because God's trying to get our attention, folks. God's trying to get us to realize that He is God and He needs our attention. Man, He wants us to worship, but He'll not have us giving praise to everything else. God wants us to worship Him because He wants us to know, praise God, that He is in control of every situation. Amen. That's nothing's ever taken Him by surprise. Praise God. He's taken a whole lot of us by surprise. He's taken a lot of peoples and nations and tongues by surprise. But there's nothing that's ever taken God by surprise. And we just need to figure out tonight, praise God, that God is in charge. He's the creator. He's the sustainer of everything that we see. And we have to put our faith and trust in Him. Amen. That He's sovereign over us. He's going to watch over and He's going to keep us and He's going to protect us. Because He is that. He is our creator. He is our sovereign Lord. He is our providential God who knows where we're at, what we need, where we're going to need to be. And He's designed, praise God, to get us to a place that He's prepared for us. Amen. You know, if everything just went perfect in this world and we never had a mishap, we wouldn't have much of a need, Brother Kevin, to ever call out to God. But because everything isn't perfect, amen, we know that we need a Savior this evening. We need to be calling out to somebody, amen, somebody that can help us. That's why the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter number 1 that there is a God and He's real. And His name is Jesus. Amen. He said, by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things are created by Him and for Him. Amen. And He said, He is before all things and by Him all things consist. He said, listen, said God is in charge. God is in control. God is the one that's holding it all together. You say, preacher, it seems pretty bad sometimes. Yeah, but just imagine God wasn't there. It would be really bad because there wouldn't be nobody holding it together. Amen. Everything would fall apart. But praise God, I'm glad that there's a God today that's in charge.
He's a God that's in control. Our God is in control, praise God. And He's holding this thing together, even for His glory, that He might get praise and honor out of it all. Amen. We just need to keep lifting our voices up, realizing all these things that took place in history, all the things in the Old Testament that He's used to get our attention, and for all the good things in the providential care of God that He's given us, promises that through Jesus Christ our Lord, that we will be okay. Amen. That He's going to hold us together. All things He's going to hold together. What does that mean? That means that He's going to hold us together too. If we'll let Him, if we'll trust Him, He'll hold us together. He'll keep us from falling apart. You know, a preacher told me one time, he said, son, sometimes you just got to come apart so you don't come apart. And I said, he said, sometimes you just got to take some time off, take time to yourself, take some Bible time for yourself, whatever. He said, just come apart so you don't come apart. And I didn't think much about that at the time, but boy, I tell you, the older I get, the more I realize how true that is. Amen. Come apart, get a hold of God, let God get a hold of me, let God help me, let me realize that through Him all things consist. He gives us the strength, the power, His strength, His power. He has it all from heaven, amen. And He has it to minister to us today. Praise God. Because God is in charge. Somebody asked you, said, who's in charge of all this? Say, God is.